The Lincoln Centre production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I opened last night at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre here in Dublin, having already conquered New York and the United Kingdom. The musical is one of Rodgers and Hammerstein's best-loved works during their golden period in the 1950s. It features some of the most recognisable tunes, including Hello, Young Lovers, Shall We Dance, and this one.
Getting to know you. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you, putting it my way but nicely. You're precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new.
Getting to Know You from The King and I by Rodgers and Hammerstein, featuring the voice of Kelly O'Hara in the lead role of Anna. It was she that played the part in the 2015 production of The King and I that swept the boards at the Tony Awards back in 2015. And the same orchestral and vocal arrangements featured in the current production, which opened last night at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin. Niall Morris was there and he's with me in studio now. And in fact, it's the same director. It's essentially, this is a new cast, isn't it? But we're talking the same, people will see the same set and the same production.
It's like seeing the same show, exactly, yeah. It's directed by Bartlett Sher, and quite brilliantly, I have to say. Not a great name.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. From beginning to end, I literally was just swept away by it. It's a beautiful production.
Just remind us of where this comes in the Rodgers and Hammerstein oeuvre. Important stage of the 1950s for them, Niall.
Well, it was debuted in 1951. They'd had three hits before that. Oklahoma was big, South Pacific and Carousel, I think they were the big three. Mm. And then they were approached to set this famous story to music. In fact, it had originally actually been a novel written by Margaret Langton, published in 1946. And made into a film starring Rex Harrison. So there was good information there, good background. He was offered to Cole Porter and he turned it down. Just one of those things.
Yeah. But then again, he would have done something different from what Rodgers and Hammerstein did. That's
it would
sure.
have been entirely
but
different.
But it was even a bit of a risk for them, I think, wasn't it?
I think so, because it was a very foreign subject too. Can you imagine 1950s in America? And that was, in fact, probably a great plus because it was very exotic. But there's not one American person in the cast that you can relate to. The only foreign person, the only kind of Western person, is the governess, Anna Leone.
But she's quite definitely British.
She is, yeah. But she was living in Singapore when she got this job to go and teach at the Royal Palace. I think she took a little bit of leap of faith doing that. And
while there's a basis in truth here, this is highly fictionalized.
Highly. But it's actually lovely because originally these memoirs were written by Anna Leone Owens and published as the English governess at the court of Siam in 1870, a rather long and laborious title. And then it was picked up, and as you say, very fictionalized in the 40s, and then fictionalized further by Rodgers and Hammerstein into this very, very glossy love story.
And rather than the farmer and the cowhands having to be friends, it was a case of the governess and the king had to kind of become friends. That's kind of what it is. And a very unusual type of friendship and relationship between them.
And probably now, the way the musical explores it is that she kind of saved Thailand from colonial invasion, which is highly improbable.
Yeah.
But around that time, Thailand, neighbouring countries were being invaded, and Thailand was the only country in Southeast Asia which was never invaded by a foreign country, ever. Mm. And it's something that they're very proud of now, and I know this because I go to Thailand twice a year because my partner's from Thailand. But this is just a wonderful sort of fact of that they were never invaded. But the
music in itself, was it banned in Thailand for quite a long time, or certainly wasn't seen in Thailand?
Yes, and the film and the musical were not allowed to be seen in Thailand because they were seen. It was disrespectful to the king to have this much personal information being, you know, and even to this day, you wouldn't say such things about the king. You wouldn't know much about his private life. It all happens behind the palace walls. So fiction. Personalizing or telling this story, a very personal story about him, was totally inappropriate for Thai people. And so, yeah, actually, they don't know this. They really don't know the story of the king and the governess.
And the production then that, and the cast that we're seeing in Dublin, let's put aside the main players for just a moment, because there are lots of little princes and princesses.
Yes, there are.
Are they local? Are they cast locally?
No, they're not. They've come along with the production. Yeah, they're on tour with the production, and there are 18 princes and princesses on stage. But King Mongkut had actually 82 children in total. But these were his special children, and they were the ones that were invited to be educated by the governess. And they're absolutely gorgeous. The whole thing is beautiful. Like, from the moment it started and the curtain went up on this scene of a sunset over the harbour in Bangkok, I was nearly crying. I was so into it from the moment. And it was beautiful because I was sitting next to my husband, who's from Thailand, and it was our 7th anniversary. We were that very day, and I just thought it was just so romantic. It's a long night of, like, there's a big ballet sequence in the middle of it.
So she arrives with her son, which seemingly is not clear to people listening outside of the view. She arrives with her son.
Yes.
And a relationship builds between her as this very strict British governess and the king, who... Even speaking to a woman is highly unusual, never mind build a relationship of any kind with her.
Exactly. And also, he was the king. So when anybody in the room, when anyone was like in his presence, he had to throw themselves down the floor and be much lower than him. But she refused to do that, partly because her skirt was too big. She couldn't possibly do it. But she challenged him in that way. And she thought that it was totally unnecessary. And in fact, that becomes part of the resolution of the night, of the show. But they didn't really have a romantic relationship. They were very charmed by each other. But at no point did you really think that they were going to go off into the distance into the sunset together.
So who do we get then, giving us the... I suppose most people remember Yul Brynner, I think, from the film, and Deborah Kerr. Who do we get in the parts of the governess and the king?
Well, Yul Brynner was absolutely amazing. And you know, he played the role 4,625 times on stage. And
that's a lot of playing.
He knew the role well by the end, and he also won an Oscar for playing it in the movie. So he was terrific. But Jose Lana is a Filipino American who is a Broadway star, and he plays the king.
Very different style.
Very differently, yeah. He's adorable and quite soft. He's not sort of a scary king, and he's loads of hair. But he's wonderful in it. And then Anna is played by Annalene Beachy, who's from Wexford.
So there's a local story as part of that.
Yeah. Now, she lives in the UK. She's doing really, really well in musical theatre all around the world. She's gorgeous in it. And her singing and her acting and her presence on stage is beautiful. Really beautiful.
Let's have a listen to a scene then. Now, this isn't our Wexford friend. This again is going back to that production featuring the star of the 2015 Tony Award winning, and this is where the two of them really begin to suggest a little bit of romance.
We've just been introduced. I do not know you well, but when the music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied. Shall we dance on a bright cloud of music? Shall we fly? Shall we dance? Shall we then say good night and mean goodbye? Oh, perchance, when the last little star has left the sky, shall we still be together with our arms around? we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
Why do you stop? You dance pretty. Go on.
Your Majesty, I didn't realise I was...
Just wanted to hear a little bit of Ken Watanabe dancing. There as the King of Siam and Kelly O'Hara as Anna. And I just want to emphasise again, that isn't the cast that we're hearing in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. We have the local woman from Ireland and the guy you mentioned who are playing in that. But what I wanted to get across was that this is essentially a touring cast in that award-winning production. So how special is it since it won all those Tony Awards? What are you seeing on stage?
Extremely special. I mean, I've seen loads and loads of shows in my life.
And probably lots of versions of The King and I, have you?
I don't know that lots of versions. I mean, people will know the film version.
Yeah.
And it is extremely beautiful. But how do you make that work on stage? You know, you don't want people coming along and being disappointed and thinking, oh, it wasn't as good as the film. Well, that won't happen. It's literally exactly what theatre should be. From the moment it starts, you're drawn straight into this world. And then the set designs by Michael Yergin, literally, it just flows from one thing to another. And you can't believe that. The next tableau is even more beautiful than the last one. The costumes, Olivier Award-winning costume designer, Catherine Zuber, it's wonderful to look at. And it's a night which is nearly 3 hours long, including the interval. It just flies by.
The other important thing I think that you mentioned is, as far as you could make out, the music was all performed live by the orchestra. And that's quite unusual in a lot of music theatre nowadays.
I think so, yeah. In this day and age, you're never quite sure what you're hearing is live or not. And I could tell it was live because I was looking up at the screen and I could see the conductor above where I was sitting. So they were all connecting, looking at the conductor, keeping time. There was everything was live. There was a lot of timpani. I thought, right, okay, I'm hearing a lot. The timpani was live, the harp, flute, everything. It was all...
And it kind of leads to a better interaction between what's happening on stage and what's being performed in the pit.
I think it sounds more organic, and that's really what came across. You know, there's nothing fake about it.
And the performances mentioning Annalene Beachy as Anna and Jose Lana.
Yeah, as a king.
How did that work for you? How did they work together? Good chemistry?
Good chemistry. And, you know, you've got to come to something like that, very famous, so you have to bring something different to it. And I thought Jose Lana, and particularly, he had everyone from the first time he said, "Es it da-da."
Yeah.
"Es it da-da." And he was playful and very engaging, and the king with the heart, you know, the big heart.
Right. So it worked for you. Now.
Oh, it was lovely.
And no hesitation in recommending it.
Oh, everyone should see this. Because things like this, they don't come along that often where everything just works. All of the elements of theatre, it's hard to get everything right.
But this one worked
for
you.
This does.
That's Niall Morris reviewing The King and I there. It runs until Saturday, June the 1st. And they will get a lot of performances in if they're doing this on tour all the time. I was looking at the Bord Gáis Energy website. Most days they're doing a matinee and an evening performance. Not every day, but practically all of them. But you can find out full details on the website, which is bordgáisenergy.ie. And from what Niall's saying, it sounds as if it's well worth seeing.